Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.
So, by way of introduction to the topic of Shalom Bayis, I think it's true to say that there, in all relationships, and certainly relationships, family relationships, husband-wife relationships, there's two basic areas that one can focus on, one can learn, and one can develop. And one is our attitudes, our approach, our outlook to relationships and to husbands and to relationships in general. And then skills, our skill set, communication skills, and over a long list, a variety of skills that provide for a happy, healthy relationship, a happy, healthy, strong relationship. So what's important, I think, to point out from as a basis, as a foundation for these conversations that, God willing, we'll have over the months and years, is that there is a mistake, I think, that we make living in an open society that we do. We're just talking about Google and the Internet, and there's, I mean, information overload is, you know, is an understatement, really. We need to understand, I think, that our attitudes really need and should come solely from the Torah. By that I mean that we don't have to look very far to realize and appreciate that when attitudes are taken from science, from pop culture, from the isms, the communism and capitalism and all the isms out there, invariably those attitudes have a nugget of truth in them. Communism, capitalism are both great examples. There's a nugget of truth in both of those systems. But the system as a system is really off in some ways, some more than others, but the system, the approach, the attitude of those are economic systems and government systems and family systems, and there's something missing in those pieces. So attitudes, really, we have to check our attitudes always, and this is true in all of life, with what does the Torah say? What does Hashem tell us about this particular topic? And when we analyze it, we see there's so much wealth and so much depth and so much beauty in what the Torah has to tell us about these things. And when we honestly, let's face it, many of us, you know, didn't necessarily have this education as a child, but when we honestly, as adults, look at the attitudes the Torah wants us to have, and the attitudes, when you really look at them honestly, of the world, they're miles apart, much greater distance between the two than we might have thought. And one clearly leads in a very negative direction, whereas the Torah has kept us for thousands and thousands and thousands of years. Skills, on the other hand, ladies, I would argue, can very easily come from both the Torah and the Torah sources and Torah materials and the world of science, psychology, sociology, etc. There's a tremendous amount that we can gain from the approach of modern science. And this idea, I think, is illustrated by the Gemara, the famous Gemara in Megillah. The Gemara says that Torah does not exist among the world. Among the nations of the world, the Torah does not exist. The Torah was a gift to the chosen people, to Klal Yisrael, and we are the keepers of that Torah. It's our job to spread and to role model the Torah, but really we are the keepers of that Torah. Certainly the rest of the world is not only allowed, but is invited to gain from that and to learn from that. But its source is the Torah. Its source is Moshe, Sinai, and the lineage, the heritage that we have. The source is not somewhere else. Whereas the Gemara goes on and says, Chachma v'goyim certainly does exist. Wisdom from the world. Wisdom maybe is a bad translation here, but Chachma, however we want to translate that word, certainly does, has and does, and will continue to exist from a multitude of sources. And it is foolish to ignore that. It's foolish to say that the interventions, the ideas, the research that science and the psychology and the other sciences provide us should be ignored. That's simply erroneous, simply mistaken. I remember speaking to one of the Torah giants alive today about psychology works and psychology books and reading them and studying them and masters in counseling, which is all about psychology. There's a lot of stuff there that is really abhorrent, to say the least. Some of it's really, really, in some ways getting better, in some ways getting worse, but a lot of it is really antithetical to the Jew. And yet a lot of it is very helpful and very, very useful. So he told me, actually borrowing a line, interestingly enough, from the Laws of Shabbos, he said, take the ochel and leave behind the psoles, which means take the good stuff, stuff that we can use, the skills and the ideas, the interventions that fit into the attitudes of the Torah, and ignore the other stuff. And there's a lot of that there to be ignored. But his point was, the great point I'm making with you, and that is we need to, the foundation, our values, the direction that we're going in, the strategic plan, so to speak, has to be strictly from a Jewish perspective, from a Torah perspective, and yet the tricks, the interventions, the ideas, how things can go about, certainly can be taken from Torah sources as well as from secular scientific sources. So one of those attitudes, ladies, just share this with you, and that is, again, from Rabbi Dessler. He says that if you look at character traits, there's really only two basic elemental character traits in the whole world. We can probably sit and list 20 of them, different character traits, but when you boil it all down, there's only two. There's giving and there's taking. And every character trait is an offshoot, is a spin-off of one of those two character traits. Giving and taking. And this is, again, a longer discussion that we can have, but those are the basic character traits in every human being. And the truth is that a happy, healthy relationship is based on the idea, the attitude, the approach of giving. And having the other person, the husband, child, whoever it is, really as the object of my wanting to give. And if you think about it, that's very, very different than certainly the way relationships and love is portrayed in the secular world. If you just listen to the radio for 20 minutes and you listen to the words, you realize very, very quickly that the theme over and over and over again is not about really, it's not really about giving. It's not about the other, it's about me. So this isn't a point that needs to be, I don't think, made, but it's that this is really the core, this is the launching point for any discussion about Shalom Bayis, is that it's all the Hashem creates the world so that a man and woman should be together so that they become givers, that they spend their entire life trying to figure out how can I give to this other person. Now, the pushback, the question always asked about this is, well, what about me? I mean, we all have needs, we all have desires, we all have interests of our own that drive us at the end of the day. So the answer to that, Rabbi Tatt, in his books, discusses this beautifully. And he says very clearly that when one does the right thing, the byproduct of that is happiness. The byproduct of that is satisfaction. It's not, as America teaches, the pursuit of happiness. That I'm chasing happiness, which then becomes an illusion and then becomes a lot of the problems that this our country and our society see on a regular basis. If the pursuit is of happiness, that means taking to me, that's going to lead nowhere. It leads to bad places. But if I'm giving, if I'm doing for the other person the way I'm supposed to, the natural, definitive byproduct of that, I mean, there's no question it's going to happen, is satisfaction, is happiness, is my needs will also be met along the way. That's how Hashem made the world. And this one idea is so basic and so fundamental, the activity could be the same. But the goals are different, and the result will be very, very different. My goal is to help this person, to give to this person, to figure out what that person needs from me. Then they will be satisfied, I will be connected to them, and by definition, I will be happy, and I will receive at the same time. If all I'm doing is chasing my pleasures and my needs, then I'm not connecting really with that person, I'm not satisfied, it's like a mirage, it's like an oasis. It's just simply not there. It's just a mirage that doesn't really exist. So before getting into any more specifics, that's, I think, an attitude that we all, it's a lifelong journey to think about this and to develop this and to refine this understanding and this attitude. And a practical level, I think it's important to try and end off with a prescription for all of us each time we talk, and that is to think about this in life. Next, you know, few days, to think, how can I give to this person? How can I give to this person without putting myself foremost and my needs and my wants and my desires, but very simply, how can I give to this person and then allow Hashem's normal chain reaction of events to happen, whereas they'll be happy, I'll be happy, and we'll all get the result that we ultimately want.
The loss and the infatuation that stayed a few days, whatever, and after that, kids, you know.
Right. That's a great question. I mean, infatuation is very different than love. Infatuation is Hashem's gift to get people together. That's really what it is. The romance and all that at the beginning of a relationship is simply the sparks, the glue, the excitement to get people together. That's not love. That's one of the big mistakes. Again, if you listen to the radio, the word love is misused. Love, and we'll talk about this more next time, is about giving. And it's long-term, it's less sparks, but it's the flight. It's the whole journey of that, you know, that couple, that family together. Two different things. Infatuation and love are two very, very different things. And that's, again, one of the biggest points of confusion, I think, these days. All right. Thank you, ladies.
You're clear.